"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Welcome on in. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Today being Friday, of course, we end the show with the Moist Line. We'll have another round at 5:20 and then the end at 5:50. We are going to throw somebody's into the dumpster today, of course, based on one of the bigger stories of the week and the vote by the committee to throw some hacks into the dumpster. You'll find out who those are in the 5 o'clock hour as well. This story came to our attention, and we will, of course, fashion it the way it should be presented. San Francisco Chronicle special report. The London Breed administration, that's the mayor, London Breed is her name, offered them homes. Then it spent millions to kick them out. They put three reporters on this story. It is long, and I mean long. I mean, I'm scrolling through it on the computer screen here, and it takes forever to get from top to bottom.
I printed it out. Ray printed it out for me. 20 pages.
20 pages. 20. You know, a lot of it focuses on one guy named Robert Bowman. Right there at the beginning of the story, you can scroll all the way two-thirds in the article, and there's still stories about him coming up.
They do this. The idiots at the LA Times do this, too. They take one guy, and it's his sob story. It's his life of trauma and poverty, his suffering. And they use it, they use him as a mascot for the entire issue. They never, ever profile somebody who's frothing at the mouth, screaming, waving a sword in the air.
No, this turns out to be a gay man with congestive heart failure.
Well, hey, so that checks a lot of boxes right there.
Yep. And he had lived on the streets, but eventually, 4 years ago, he was moved inside when the city's Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing offered him a room at the Elm Hotel in the Tenderloin. So what you find out quickly, this is a story about the program to put the homeless in hotel rooms. They call this SRO. What does SRO mean? Single room occupancy. Remember, that was the craze at the beginning of the pandemic. Oh, this congregate living thing, it's probably not good for them. And then because of the virus, it's really not good for them. So let's try to get them their own private rooms. And then someone said, oh, but the hotels have emptied out because of the lockdown. So there we go. Let's stick the homeless people in these hotels.
SROs used to be known as flop houses. Yeah, everybody gets a room with maybe a communal toilet down the hall.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, it turns out that Bowman got into trouble, and you're right, this is how they soften the story, by picking this particular man. He was violating the visitor policy. See, but the real theme of the story is a lot of these people have so many dysfunctions that the agenda of Housing First is a failure with a lot of them, because they want to continue to drink, take drugs, act out, and a lot of them end up getting evicted because their behavior is dysfunctional.
And
of course, the story says, well, the city didn't spend enough money on supportive services.
Oh, the city.
Permanent supportive housing is what we need. These are just hotel rooms. I thought you said Housing First.
Here's what, they get indicted by the Chronicle here, but by failing to provide safe and stable homes for the city's most vulnerable residents, local leaders have set many of them up to fail. Look at that. They had the word fail twice in a sentence.
Right.
So, but you can't do anything for somebody who doesn't play along with the rules at all. Because you're right, there's drugs, there's drinking, and then they invite all their friends over, and it becomes this public drug den. And then you have...
Well, that's the reason for limiting guests, because it could get out of control very quickly.
And then it's disruptive to anybody else in the building who actually wants to follow the rules and have some peace.
They mentioned in passing, well, half of the residents were evicted for a wide range of lease violations, from packing their rooms with clutter to assaulting neighbors and staff.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So what is the city?
But Bowman, of course, was not a threat. So right, they keep coming back to him because he's kind of the model here for the story.
And why can't the guy follow the rules? Is there something about...
He likes the people over. He said, when I was a kid, we had all these cookouts. It was always about having your friends over and having a good time. And he just could not break himself of that habit of having too many people in the...
When you were a kid... your mom and dad went to work and they bought a house and you could invite people over. And then at the end of the day, the people went home and they weren't whacked out on meth and heroin or drinking excessively. Do you see the difference?
Here's what he said. The most important thing for his mental health is to be with friends. And the strict limitations on visitors made that impossible without violating the lease agreement. Part of my sanity is my friends. I don't have a family.
Wait a second. So are we publicly responsible for providing a home for him where he could have 24-hour access to friends and he doesn't have to go to work?
If it's part of his mental health treatment, right?
Because he claims it's his mental health treatment, so we have to say, yeah, I'll pony up the money, sure, and do whatever you want.
They do make you pay some sort of rent. I guess they work it out with you, and some of these people are evicted because they didn't pay the rent either.
Yeah, but it's our tax money.
Oh, they just get the government check and then hand it over.
Yeah, it's just the welfare money and the food stamps and all the other.
Yeah, I'd always just assume that the governments just give the hotel some money directly and just let the homeless.
Does it look like this guy had a job? Did you see any mention of him?
No.
Going to work?
No. They keep coming back to him in this story and they occasionally talk. By the way, Mayor Breed would not speak to them. They tried to set up several interviews.
She doesn't want to set up. What's the setup here? You're failing this poor guy who's gay with congestive heart failure because you won't let his friends come over? It's like, nobody needs those.
Yeah, they really broke down the story to the most sympathetic character that they could find. That's for sure.
I have an idea. Do something on meth addicts. Do something on fires. How about that? Do something on all the rapes and burglaries and break-ins.
The crazy guy we see on this corner defecating.
Do that. Do the guys who defecate in public. Do the ones who litter the sidewalks with needles, and then the kids have to play either needle hopscotch or poop hopscotch. Let's see an article on that. Bunch of silly wieners. God, these are exhausting people.
80% of the stories on this Bowman guy keep scrolling, and it's another update on his background and where he lived and the eviction notices and his boyfriend, and they just keep coming back to him like he's the whole story here.
Yeah.
Usually when they write these kind of stories, they interview several people, but this guy was clearly the center of attention.
Here's the big trauma moment, and I don't get it. In 2007, he was in his mid-30s. He moved into a 6-bedroom home in Antioch that his family owned. He was helping to pay the mortgage and hoped to gain equity in the property, but then the economy and the housing market collapsed. He lost his job, couldn't afford the payments. With little money and nowhere to live, Bowman decided to move to San Francisco, where he envisioned finding acceptance.
Oh,
crashed with friends, slept in a shell. You know what? a lot of people went through that. And they're not living in the streets 15 years later.
Yeah.
You get a job. You find a roommate. You move to another town that's much cheaper. Maybe another state. You don't. You go to this the most. I mean, San Francisco has the most expensive real estate in the nation. It's not even close. So you pick that city to bring your unemployed rear end to. I mean, what are you doing? That's the last place you move to if you don't have a job, is San Francisco.
And of course, then it goes on about they didn't spend enough money on counselors at these SROs. Caseloads are up to 85 residents per counselor. I like this part too. Counselors can't force clients to take medication, seek substance abuse treatment, or access other services. Yeah, we know that. That's why this is often a failure, because a lot of these people just refuse any kind of help.
Because there's no consequence for refusing the help. I guess the consequence is like you lose your room at the flophouse, and now you're out in the street. But I don't know what you want people to do. By the way, there is not an unlimited number of counselors. They always talk about more counselors have to be hired. From where?
Yeah, that's a tough job that a lot of people don't want.
Who would want that? What kind of person are you getting anyway?
You have to deal with everybody's problems.
Honestly, who wants a job talking to unemployed drug addicts, unemployed crazy drug addicts all day, and trying to coax them into what?
All right, sticking with the Bay Area, when we come back on the homeless, a judge today gave Caltrans the green light to move people out of one of the largest encampments we've ever seen in Oakland. We'll talk about it next.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
Well, you know, we have a federal judge who finally said something that needed to be said out loud. His name is William H. Orrick, and he's up in the Bay Area. And he said, quite simply, there's no constitutional right to housing.
Nah.
Can't find it. Sorry.
I read the whole Constitution.
I've tried. But that's at the center of a problem. In Oakland, we have an encampment called the Wood Street Homeless Encampment that is more than 200 people. There has been a battle about clearing it out. Previously, the judge had put a restraining order prohibiting Caltrans and the city of Oakland from cleaning up the encampment, saying that basically you have to find all these people housing. But kind of reversed himself a bit with this decision that there's no constitutional right to housing.
Yeah, and Caltrans also in their legal argument said, we're Caltrans. We're not designed to provide housing for
people.
We're
not. That's right. That's not our job.
I mean, Caltrans has to maintain state land. State land is our land. Our tax money bought this land. Our tax money pays for the maintenance and the use of it. And so Caltrans is the agency that's in charge of doing what they're supposed to do with the land and what we paid for. But they're not to provide social services. That's what's gone nuts. You go to a company or an agency that's supposed to maintain asphalt.
Let's try to give you an idea about this encampment. 300 people live there. It spans nearly 25 city blocks. Sprawls over land owned by the city, by Caltrans, railroad companies, a bunch of other agencies. They have had 60 fires this year and 115 fires last year.
So that's 175 fires in a year and a half.
The one in July brought freeway traffic to a standstill. And that's where Caltrans said, uh-oh, if you bring down a freeway like the overpass and this causes a massive casualty incident, that's when they started issuing notices to residents that we're going to shut down the encampment. That's when the judge slapped a restraining order on him, but today he reversed himself.
2 weeks ago.
And he's going to allow them to clear out the encampment.
2 weeks ago, fire came within 330 feet of two high-purity oxygen plants that are used for wastewater treatment. They said if the oxygen had ignited, it would cause a catastrophic explosion. So you got homeless people set up outside these giant pure oxygen tanks. and they start fires about every other day.
The judge said there's no constitutional right to housing, and because of that, he does not have the power to allow these, quote, residents to stay on the property if the owner doesn't want them there. And Caltrans is largely the owner, and they made the decision in July to clear it out. So he's going to let this happen. You know, Oakland got nearly $5 million from Newsom.
Where'd all this money
go? To address the encampment. Good question.
Where did the money go? If you got $5 million and you have 25 blocks of homeless people setting hundreds of fires, what kind of thieves work for this homeless agency in Oakland? What kind of criminals are working there? Because that's what it is. It's criminal. You got 25 blocks of homeless people and you were given $5 million, then we have to assume you ran off with the money.
They are supposedly going to house 120 people in shipping containers with electricity and running water. Use some of the money for that.
Well,
they also suggested setting apart some of the land for people who wish to remain in tents, RVs, and other vehicles. Oh my gosh, a centralized cooking model that would cut down on each person's using their own propane. Oh, good luck with that. There was like a community cooking central area that was safer.
A centralized cooking area. It's like, what? All these weird terms and concepts that were come up. Caltrans just deals with transportation issues. They're not responsible to set up some kind of cooking commune for insane drug addicts. I don't think that's in the charter there.
The residents are worried that their RVs could be destroyed or damaged if they're removed from the encampment.
Yeah, well, I hate to say the same thing over and over again. Maybe you'd like to get some work. Maybe you'd like to get a job.
And if housing is too expensive in the Bay Area,
maybe you want to put down the meth pipe for a few minutes.
You may need to go somewhere in your RV where you can set up a life for yourself. You can start out by getting a job, as John said. And maybe you can find a place to park your RV until you can find an apartment somewhere in Idaho or Iowa or
somewhere.
I don't know, but you can't just stay where you are if it's not working out. But we never make these people responsible for their own decisions and actions. Everyone frets, and it's always easy just to say, oh, the government just has not done enough for them.
Listen to this. One of these whack jobs, Kelly Castillo lives in an RV. She says the programs presented by the city haven't worked well for her. See, we owe her a life. She's worried about what would happen to her RV when Caltrans begins the sweep. And she's urging the city to think outside the box. Well, why does anybody have to spend even 10 seconds thinking about your problems?
Exactly.
It's your problem. It's your RV. Start the thing up and go drive it out in an open space where you're not going to annoy anybody. What do you mean we have to think outside the box for you? Where do they get this sense of entitlement?
There's two pictures that came with the story. You can see the freeway overpass behind these people. Residents and supporters of the Wood Street encampment listened to a court hearing over Zoom in Oakland on Friday, August 26th. And that was today. That was the ruling he just made today. The other picture is a guy with a burnt-out van behind him. Wood Street resident Theo Cedar Jones checks his phone ahead of a Zoom hearing, which will decide the future of the encampment on Friday, July 22nd. And it's just, it's a dump. The garbage. I don't know why people like living in these large, it's really foul. And you often have crime there, and you can easily have disease. Remember when hepatitis was being passed around at some of the encampments?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're all crazy. They're all just completely bat
poop. Oh, but the Times
crazy.
Calls it a sense of community.
No. Yeah. Well, in the sense that, mental institutions, I guess, have a sense of community. Yeah. Sure. And that's what these are. These are outdoor psych wards.
All right. Well, at least this judge maybe made a sane decision.
Yeah. No constitutional right to housing. No constitutional right to housing.
It looks like he was looking for it, but couldn't find it.
Yeah. No. Probably hidden somewhere.
Right,
it's one of those mystery rights. John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right. Of course, one of the big stories today is the Mar-a-Lago affidavit for the FBI search. But another story that is sort of around this is the appearance of the Facebook CEO. Oh, I'm sorry, Meta. Mark Zuckerberg on this Joe Rogan Experience podcast, where I didn't listen to the podcast, but it doesn't sound like he was challenged much, because he goes on this show and he's explaining the Facebook approach when it came to the big story from the fall of 2020 that Hunter Biden's laptop had been recovered by a repair shop guy in Delaware. And the response from most of the media was, oh, that's a hoax. The New York Post, of course, was prominent in reporting on this, did a really good job. There was some excellent stuff in there. But right through the election, most of the rest of the media was, oh, we just don't believe that that's really Hunter Biden's laptop. And so what if it is? He's not running for president, like that kind of thing.
Right.
So the explanation for what Facebook did in terms of its actions, as far as Zuckerberg explained, is, well, the FBI approached us and they warned us about Russian propaganda. You see, in 2016, a lot of that happened, and they told us, well, here's his quote, and he uses basically a lot. Basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us.
Well, he talks like a teenage girl.
Some folks on our team and was like, hey, just so you know, you should be on high alert. We thought there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically, there it is again, there's about to be some kind of dump of that similar to that. So just be vigilant. So that's an excuse for trying to wipe out the Hunter Biden laptop story?
No,
that was just a generic.
No, it's
a generic warning.
It's BS. Zuckerberg's a big deal Democrat. He sends tens of millions of dollars with him, his company, his foundations to Democratic candidates and political action committees and issues. He's a big Democrat supporter. And many of these guys were practically part of Obama's cabinet a few years back. They were constant. The Google guys were always over at the White House. They're like part of the government now, and they work in association with the government. So that's a load of crap, because there actually was a guy, a repair shop owner. He was a real person, and he had a real laptop. So the idea that this was Russian disinformation was easily disprovable, because here's the guy, here's the laptop, open it up.
Oh, but it's all fake loaded in there.
No, it's... But,
what do we know about that guy? He's just a front for operatives who want to defeat Biden.
And little children can play that game
and
forever.
He loaded it with all sorts of fake emails and texts.
I know. Anybody can say, make up any lie, any fake story, sure.
Didn't even do that, though. They just ignored it. They didn't really do any kind of...
And Twitter shut...
And this is what Zuckerberg's claiming. Well, you know, Facebook users could still share the post reporting, but we wanted to do some third-party fact-checking on it.
Sharing means you could send it to one of your friends.
Friends, right.
But you couldn't spread it to everybody that you know. Like the New York Post, their Twitter account was completely shut down. So... And anybody who did get a hold of the Post story and tried to put it on their own Twitter feed, that got blocked as well.
Oh, yeah. He tried to say we weren't as black and white about it as Twitter
was. Yeah, but Facebook was really bad, okay? You'd have to, send it out one at a time? I mean he's a censor. And the guys who are in Twitter, they're censors.
But he really is like a 15-year-old. He said on the podcast, we just kind of thought, hey, look, if the FBI, which I still think is a legitimate institution in this country, it's a very professional law enforcement, they come to us and tell us what we need to be on guard about, then that's something I want to take very seriously.
He's like a little kid. Now,
but he took a broad warning and applied it to this story to act like this is our excuse.
Because he's a partisan. Because
Rogan did ask him, did they specifically tell you to be on guard about that story?
No.
Oh, I don't remember.
No, they did not. No, they did not. They absolutely did not. It was very clear. You're rooting for Biden to be Trump. You will lie and distort so that you boost Biden's chances and deflate Trump. They specifically wanted to do that because that's the way they wanted the world to be. They wanted a United States where Joe Biden was the president, not Trump. And so they did whatever they could. So they shut down the flow of information that made Biden look bad or made Trump look good. They simply shut down the flow because they're in charge of the flow of information now. Because more people get their news by going to social media than get it by watching anything on television.
That's really sad, right.
Or any online news outlet or radio or anything. So they know they're in charge of what Americans see and believe. And you got that power, and you feel passionately that this guy should be president and this guy should be out, then that's what they do. And you know, people don't know any better. People don't work very hard to find information. Obviously, that story was out there. Obviously, it was covered by certain. But most people don't want to bother. They just don't want to bother. They don't care.
And to reinforce the idea that Zuckerberg is a 15-year-old, he said, "Do you have any regret about suppressing that story that turned out to be factual?" Yeah. I mean, it sucks.
Sucks.
Appears to be a quote from the podcast. Yes.
No, you suck.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. How about basically it sucks?
Basically, you know, like it sucks.
Right.
I looked at some of the quotes of his, and it's all like you knows. Basically, it's filler words.
I thought it would be tech jargon the way Newsom uses a lot of tech jargon because, you know, Zuckerberg's with a big tech company.
Isn't that weird?
Is that generational because he's younger? I guess he's not that young anymore.
No, he's 38.
Yeah.
I have no idea. People's brains are so strange. Why some people pick up all the weird tics of speech and others don't. Why somebody falls in love with absurd jargon like Newsom does. I don't know.
Yeah, he tried to make it look like, we didn't do what Twitter did. They completely censored the Post reporting. We just limited the reach on our platform.
Well,
we didn't prevent people from sharing the story, so
they're censors.
Twitter just blocked everything.
They're partisan censors. That's what they are. They've picked a side, and there is almost no objectivity left in the world. There's no neutrality left. Everybody's lying. Everybody's distorting. Everybody's slanting. Everybody's presenting bias. They're omitting things. They're taking things out of context. I mean, every trick in the book. They're all doing it.
I think it
all
works
day.
On both sides.
Oh, sure it does.
What really caused this to explode, though, was Trump.
Yeah.
Where the more progressive media said, that's it. Doesn't matter. We got to do everything we can to block this guy and everything he says, because everything he says is a lie.
Yeah. So what do you think the next 2 years or 6 years are going to be like?
It's pretty bad. All right. We got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
The Daily Mail now has this top story. The FBI is investigating a glamorous Ukrainian fraudster, 33 years old, with links to a Russian charity. She posed as a Rothschild and infiltrated Mar-a-Lago. She's actually posing in a picture with Trump on a golf course. All while Trump kept those top secret documents at the resort. You see the connection?
Yeah, I see.
She was going to get in there and grab those documents and run.
You know, I
didn't they find a, was it an Asian woman in there one day taking pictures or something? Remember
yes,
that story?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, there
they
was
did.
Somebody in there.
Wouldn't it be the easiest thing in the world to infiltrate Trump's circle as a spy? Because you just send like some gorgeous Eastern European woman, you know, like his wives.
She is attractive. I'm looking at the picture of her here, skirt she's wearing. And
Right. So, I mean, how hard would it be to compromise him? I wonder how many times they tried, and I wonder how many times it worked, but they just, I guess, never found anything.
All right, well, we got a vegan story. Do we have a vegan around?
Yes, we do. I'm here.
Oh, she was just bragging about the vegan dinner that she's going to have tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't understand a single ingredient.
What, you're making it or you're having it
somewhere? No, I'm going to go get a veganized tostada tonight. Because I say veganized because there's nothing really vegan in there, but I just don't add any dairy or meat. And I can't wait. I was drooling telling John about it, and he told me I have a problem.
Yes.
Drooling.
Well, yeah, that is pretty sad.
I know.
If you're walking around drooling.
I'm hungry.
You're drooling for vegan food tonight.
Yes.
We've been talking about how protesters just keep upping their game to try to make it difficult to move them. This is a Starbucks. A Starbucks in Nashville, Tennessee. And a group of protesters, a lot of them vegans, were blocking the shop's entrances and exits. And the signs they had said, end the vegan upcharge. What do you think that's about? That's getting plant-based milk in their coffee. They claim that Starbucks is overcharging for the plant-based milk versus the cow-based milk.
Yes, because I notice when I go to places, oat milk and soy milk and almond milk are more expensive.
Well, maybe they are more expensive.
I don't know, because I don't buy regular
milk. How long
does
it take to get milk out of an almond?
It's a process.
You have to squeeze so hard.
You have to sit there, right, like you do to a cow's udder, right?
How do you get milk out of oats?
Same process. Well, you squeeze the oats.
Well, yeah, you can also...
I mean, these aren't
blended up, John.
These aren't real drinks.
These aren't real drinks.
No, they're because you cannot get milk.
I have
milk
some
out.
Oat milk in my refrigerator. I've yet to try it.
It's like
the oat milk creamer is really good.
It's like all this other vegan stuff. They appropriate the name of real food to try to con people.
It's not a con.
It's a con.
No, it isn't. You know, it's just the way so we know what we're getting.
I know.
We know if we want a creamer, well, we don't want a dairy creamer, so it says oat milk creamer. So we know it's, kind of does the same thing.
I know you can't squeeze milk out of oats. You can't squeeze them out of almonds. There's just no such thing. It's all fake.
Who cares? That's what I say. I'm fine with the name.
The new trick they brought here was they sort of super glued themselves to cement blocks to make it hard to move them. Apparently one woman, though, had to go to the hospital with foot pain because the cement block. The protesters used rubber boots that they could apparently step out of when the police asked them to leave, but one protester had to be taken to the hospital for foot pain. So in other words, the idea of being attached to the cement block is that you can't just lift them and move them. The cement block's really heavy. It probably takes several people to try to move them. And so it's like the way to stand their ground. I don't know. That's what it appears to be from this picture.
It's not going to bring down the price of oat milk.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals says that Sir Paul McCartney endorsed the tactics. Sent letters to Starbucks to drop the surcharge.
Doesn't he have anything to do?
Sir Paul, he's doing concerts still. You saw
that. I know. I mean, shouldn't he... write to Starbucks to complain about the
oat milk
surcharge.
He wrote, my friends at PETA are campaigning for this. I sincerely hope for the future of the planet and animal welfare you're able to implement this policy.
Just go back to singing.
It was published on Billboard magazine.
Stop.
So now you don't like him anymore because he's vegan?
No. I would rather not know about this part. See, people I don't want to know about their...
Their policy, Deborah Mark, is that they said they'll give you a splash for free, but if you want additional... amount more than a splash, that's an upcharge of 50 cents to a dollar for your coffee. That's what they claim is their policy. A splash.
Well, don't pay it then. Bring your own oat milk.
It's known as alt milk.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in life that costs too much, and then don't buy it. You're putting on cement shoes or whatever the hell they did.
Oh, listen to the way they describe this. Cows used for dairy are forcibly inseminated. Workers insert an arm into the cow's rectum and a metal rod to deliver semen into her vagina.
Whose arm?
And the worker's arm.
Oh.
Now, and their beloved calves are torn away from them so that the milkman knows that babies can be used for humans.
There's people who get paid every day. They're sticking their arm into a cow's rectum.
Yes.
That's actually a job.
To deliver semen, yes.
Why don't they just let the bull have at it?
Yeah, it takes too long. This is probably more certain.
Wow. How much does that pay? Do you tell people you do that? Would you shake the hand of a guy once you found out his arm was up a cow's rectum all morning?
Coming up next,
I would.
The fight over zero bail. We mentioned yesterday that with less than a week to go in the legislative session in Sacramento, no bail Bob Hertzberg, the state senator from the Valley, has dumped his bill in there at the last moment to try to get it passed, a zero bail system. We'll talk about it next with Dennis Sein, the former LA City Council member.
John and Ken show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866 691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.